centuries, mankind has been fascinated with realms outside of our conscious awareness. Through a series of interviews with practitioners, guest speakers, and experts, Liberate the podcast covers all that and more, from health and holistic healing to the supernatural. We aim to educate, motivate, inspire, and liberate your consciousness. Hi, welcome to another episode of Liberate the Podcast. Today, a special guest. So we often have our own practitioners and facilitators in, but I always do love reaching out to who comes to Liberate. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the people that come to Liberate, we end up making them some of our practitioners and facilitators too. And so today's guest is Nina. She's been coming to the store since we've opened. And a few months back, we realized she has this beautiful gift for facilitating meditations that are healing and transformational and really just take people to that next level of releasing and empowerment. And you know, the few that I've been to that she's done are really changing, life-changing, and have that impact on people. And today we're bringing her on so that she can talk all about meditation, archetypes, and
goddesses.
The goddesses, of course, goddess meditation. Yeah, I mean, she does a lot of goddess meditations here too. And so, you know, this meditation and facilitating that is just one of the many, many hats that Nina wears, as well as being a wonderful, tremendous actress. And so, like, I just want to welcome her and share
so
a little bit about
Christina.
Yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. This is, I love it here, and you guys have been so generous and have opened your hearts and your doors to me in such beautiful, kind, generous ways. So thank you so much for having me on the Liberate Podcast.
Here to liberate your mind, body, and soul.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, I like to have people kind of backtrack and, like, you know, what got you into this?
So funny you say that, because I found the book that was the first goddess book. I have it. I found in it recently the receipt from when I bought it, and it was a Barnes & Noble's in Union Square in 2002.
And you know that's not there anymore, probably. No.
It might still be there, but yeah, but right. But I can't believe I can still read the receipt. I also bought a board game and The Alchemist that day, so I saw that receipt. And it's called, it was just my gateway book into this work, which is called, Goddess as the Girl's Best Friend by Laurie Brockway. And it's just this great kind of breaking down the archetypes of the feminine spirit, the feminine, the characteristics through really easy, accessible, gorgeous, fun, you know, great humor, and giving the goddess the characteristic and, like, rituals you could do in your life. And that was really, I just devoured that.
Wow.
And so that's, I guess, 2002 is when the seeds got planted for all of this.
Now, had you experienced meditation previous to that, or was this just like, okay, I'm drawn to this book, I'm not sure why, and then I do it after?
You know, the meditation came after. So that was in 2002, now I have the evidence. And then I met my personal meditation practice really started about 7, maybe 8 years ago. And around that time, I again found this this draw towards goddess and archetype work, and would, over here at the cafe, Mustard Seed Cafe, I would get books off of Amazon about goddesses and archetypes and sit in Mustard Seed and take notes like I was in class, because I just couldn't, I was literally devouring this information. And it's not until a couple years ago did those two roads meet, the archetype and the goddess work, and the meditation, and they kind of synthesized in me in a way that made so much sense. And also with the acting work that I do, because a lot of the, you know, as an actress, I get to visit and work with archetypes. I get to visit. And so another book, just giving a shout out to the book. I love books.
I like it. And people love to know recommendations. You know, there's so many people that are listening that they don't even know where to start. And you know, you go online and you do a search, you're on Amazon.
It's everywhere.
And you see that there's a million titles and you're like, what's good, what's not? I don't even know how to discern. So this is great.
Great. It's funny because I ran into Angela at the library today talking about books. I love, I'm, I was raised on a library card, so I'm a nerd for books. I love it so much. But the goddess books I buy, because I end up reading and reading and reading and underlining it. So the one about 7 or 8 years ago that really kind of rocketed me, it's called Goddesses in Every Woman, and it's by Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolen. And she is the leading Jungian psychiatrist who works with goddess and goddess archetypes through her work. And she wrote this beautiful book where she deconstructed the feminine psyche, basically, by looking at the 7 main goddesses on Mount Olympus, the great. So you have...
Wow.
So, and she taught, and Gloria Steinem does the foreword to the book. Like, it's pretty amazing.
So what are those 7 main goddesses?
You have Artemis.
Okay.
You have Athena.
Mm-hmm.
You have Hera. You have Hestia. You have Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
And Demeter and Persephone. So Artemis is this sisterhood, this, you know, the feminine spirit is the guide. The Athena is the intellect, you know, the smarts that goes through. What was the next one I said? Hera would be the wife, you know, the one who has the companion. Yeah. Hestia is often the old wise one, the one who, you know, home of the hearth. Aphrodite is the gorgeous lover, the muse, the Marilyn Monroe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Demeter and Persephone would be the mother and the daughter.
Hmm.
So the idea is that she... So this book is, again, so incredibly accessible for how thick of a subject matter that really is. And for me, what it just turned the lights on was when you put this... You know, if I look at it as a deconstructed, full female person, like, we have access to all of those at all times. And by looking at them one by one, I can start to identify in myself, oh, where is my Aphrodite? How does my Aphrodite come out in the world? Ooh, do I have enough Demeter kind of going on there? Like, could this situation use a little more of that mother energy? And so this identification through the deconstruction, which is basically those goddesses are all aspects of the great goddess, right?
Mm.
And a lot of different... cultures and have that, you know, you have the Hindu who they all break out through Shakti, all the different, you know, so it's a theme that runs throughout the world through cultures who weren't talking to each other. You know, this is just deep, deep primal in our DNA recognition of these archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
So that book, and so from there I just bought everything I could find on Amazon and just sat and read and read and read for all the different cultures. And then through the meditation came this idea that if we're all recognizing, if I can recognize these things in myself, all of us can recognize these things in ourselves, men and women too, men and women.
Because they're all aspects of us, and you know that gives us power then by saying, okay, not shaming or saying, I don't want this quality in me, but finding... that it exists and finding its worth and its value.
And how I can best utilize it for my highest good and the highest good of all. And also, there are some situations, you know, if I go to a business meeting, I need Athena a bit more than if I'm home cuddling up with someone and it's a little, you know, Athena doesn't need to be there for that. But the ability, and it's, you know, and also fluidity within those.
Mm-hmm.
Is such an incredible feminine characteristic that, again, like, we need that balance of masculine and feminine. So I, as much as I need the masculine energies, I also need the feminine energies, and vice versa, whatever gender you identify with, it's the balance of all of these energies. And to be able to, like, drop out of my head into my heart and into my body and into my flow through this goddess stuff has, goddess stuff, I say, as I throw stuff with a capital S.
Hey, you know, you know, everything that we do, I mean, taking it and not having it mean so much, but mean so much at the same
perfectly
time.
Perfectly put. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So the meditations become these incredible places to facilitate using a particular goddess as a touchstone, as the teacher, as the theme, as the North Star. And, you know, the exciting work I get to do is delve into her and come and, you know, the meditations that I get to do here, which are so awesome, you know, they're 45 minutes, and it's like using the goddess as a guide. And through that guide, I, you know, draw, I create a adventure, if you will, that is really my deepest intent is that it allows anyone there to go within, look at that aspect of themselves, draw that out, recognize it, be able to interact with it however that is, in a gentle and a loving, it's always with, you know, the intent is for the highest good of all. And then to be able to leave going, okay, she was awesome, and I'm going to bring more of that goddess energy. You know, that goddess was awesome. I'm going to bring more of that into my life. I can see where I could use some Kuan Yin compassion in other areas. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, that's interesting. I'll be able to use that. Maybe not. But it just, it becomes a way. The great honor I have is to allow people to recognize that thing within themselves, which already exists. That's why these archetypes are, and these goddesses are in our blood.
And to see how to grab it. I mean, a couple metaphors that are coming into my mind for, you know, both masculine and feminine, whatever way, because, you know, you know, if you don't know the different utensils you have in the kitchen, you might not know, you know, they're sitting there in the container, and like this
beautiful,
one might be
yes.
better for this one or this. But once you actually know that they're there, they've always been there, you can know that, okay, I'm excited to use this for, you know, flipping this or this to grab this or this to do that. And the same for like if somebody has a toolbox and they have all these tools and it's sitting there. And then you're like, oh, yeah, no, this hammer is going to be good here, the screwdriver here, this, I can use this wrench, or, you know, this, you know, socket wrench is going to work better than
exactly.
this other wrench. And then it just makes life so much simpler.
And more efficient.
And more efficient and effective, and then there's value, and you can go in that toolbox at any time, or you can go into the kitchen and grab that utensil at any time and know where it's best used for whatever you're doing.
I love that. And it's also to build on your metaphor, it's also, you know, in the toolbox, sometimes all you need is the pencil. You don't have to get the table saw out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's starting to recognize what is it that I need. And also it's a cool, I often think of acting as being an empathy ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
And that's eventually what this work also does. So if I'm kind of in, you know, studying one particular goddess, I'll see her everywhere. I'll see it. It's like, you know, seeing a new car for the first time, then you see it like everywhere you go. But like, that's the recognition that is the great gift I get to do, is say, recognize this part of yourself, recognize that it's in everywhere, and start to see it around in the world.
I really like that. And in drawing people's awareness to their self is how people heal, right? You know, so much we hide from ourself. We hide from these different aspects, you know, like maybe somebody's afraid of their Aphrodite self because, you know, of they have fear around sexuality or passion and that type of thing, you know, or maybe somebody's afraid to be smart or that, you know, they grab a hold of that and they make everything out, you know, in all of those, but we have this collectiveness. So it sounds like it's been this amazing exploration and identifying these in yourself. And so I'm guessing this huge journey.
Yes.
What have you noticed shifted in your life as a result, both career-wise, personally, and otherwise, as having a better understanding of these facets of you?
I have a significantly greater capacity of compassion for myself. To see that that I don't have to be one thing, and I can move in and out accordingly, and that if I unconsciously slip and I'm, you know, into another, you know, again, to use the Athena example, like Athena isn't needed everywhere, and sometimes she comes out in me because I identify with that. And to be able to go, oh, Athena, I see you. Thank you so much, but right now is not the time. Like you said, like being able to be like, oh, the spatula, the spoon, the knife, to know what these things are, as opposed to feeling as though me, Nina, the boat, is being steered uncontrollably. I now have this, a relationship with myself. And then, you know, and I, the more, this is bottomless work, bottomless studying, not just, I mean, it's bottomless work within, of course, but like, I could lock myself in a cabin in the woods and not get through all the books that I want to read in the next 3 years, you know, So it's having that compassion that here's the point I'm trying to make. This has allowed me a curiosity that is probably the deepest curiosity of my life that I can remember. And it shows up everywhere for me now. Mm. And it's this, you know, I've been doing the meditations for about 2 years. Gosh, that's a wild. And there are some people who have come, I do them monthly, depending on where. I used to do this really awesome private residence collective. I've done it in people's homes. I've done them one-on-one often. I love to do it for, I've been invited to do it for baby showers or bridal showers, you know, facilitate a space for this. The monthly ones, I've had the great gift of having some people who've come every month for 2 years.
Wow.
And to watch, sometimes when I'm facilitating, it is such a beautiful thing to watch people willingly taking the time to get into a space of self-care and self-curiosity and to go within. I'll forget I'm the one talking. I'll be like, oh, Nina, you're the one talking. Like, you have to keep going. Because it's a beautiful thing to watch. And to watch, and like, you know, I have the great benefit that some of these people really keep in such contact with me that they tell me their experiences. And I've seen shifts that are, this work is so humbling and so beautiful, and to facilitate really people, it's just a space for people to recognize their self. And something you said too is it's the oneness, it's mm-hmm. the collectiveness, it's the everyone in a room from all different walks of life can recognize the Kuan Yin compassion, they can recognize the butterfly maiden transformation, they can recognize, you know, the Sarasvati creativity within themselves. And then we go and we see that these goddesses span, like we were saying, all over every culture, every country. And that is the oneness.
Yeah. The energy. Mm-hmm. Tapping into that and tapping into oneself. And I'd love to hear someone without sharing specifics about people as far as like intimate details that maybe would you know, but some things that you've seen that people have shared about the transformation. You know, I really want people to understand the you know, so they can nominalize it, put mm-hmm. it in a wheelbarrow. What shifts, you know, have you
The
witnessed?
One that comes to mind is a dear and wonderful woman who has come to these meditations. You know, a lot of it is, again, like I said, it's a guided meditation, so you... What I guide is for you to have this private experience, right? And she, very early on, I'd say very early on in the couple years of doing this, it was revealed to her in these meditations that dance was important. She was always dancing in them. And she shared with me that that was something that she had done as a child mm-hmm. and hadn't done in a long time. And it became a joke after every meditation. She'd be like, well, I was dancing again. You know, there it was. And we laughed. And a couple months ago, so that was, you know, this has been almost 2 years worth. A couple months ago, I went to her level 4 ballet dance recital.
Wow.
And it was one of the most gorgeous. She just put herself in class. And she started, and what's amazing about that, and she's an amazing woman who... she's just an amazing, inspiring woman. But I watched her put herself in class, and by the time she got to level 4, I think it's level 4, forgive me if I'm wrong, everything started, gives me the chills, everything in her life started opening up. You know, she took the time to take care of herself, to sit and get curious about herself. Mm-hmm. She got information about it. She got enough information about it that she couldn't deny it anymore. And she followed it. And then her life, just like Alice in Wonderland, doors started opening.
It's beautiful.
So beautiful.
And that's the power of being in your truth and in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know? If we deny these aspects of ourself, passions or other elements of ourself, we're denying who we truly are. And if we're not who we truly are, then how can life flow? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I mean, if it's like a holographic image and we're really over here, but we're living as if we're the holograph, mm-hmm. have, you know, like that's not really controlling the movement, that's just a shell. So if you can pull yourself back into that alignment, yes. And be what that image is portraying and be who you truly are, then boom.
And to bring it back to like the archetype work, Joseph Campbell, who's one of the greatest, you know, leaders, scholars of myth and archetype, what's his most famous quote? Follow your bliss.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, you read his teachings and because he's like, that's where the magic is. That's like you're saying, where the power flows. And if I can be brave enough, because it takes courage to do that.
Yeah.
It takes courage to do that. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Yeah. It takes courage to do that. And so, and that's why the meditation, it's a practice. Because, you know, if we could all meditate once and be fine, we'd be done.
Yeah.
But it's the practice, because I practice doing that every day until something shifts. It's practicing the scales until I can play.
Yeah.
The concerto, it's lifting the weights until I can, you know, lift more. I don't know what happens after you lift a lot of weights.
It's reading the lines until you memorize it.
Yes.
And you know, and we don't just, yeah, and sometimes we can do things and we can tap into it very easily, mm-hmm. but yeah, it is about reworking. It's, you're never done learning. And that's the beautiful thing that I was taken by in the comment that you made, is that you opened up this curiosity and mm-hmm. this devotion to this curiosity and to this path, that you realize the more you dove in, the more you don't know, the more, so much more you can learn, see, and discover. And it was like, and that's one of the famous quotes, but I have no idea who it's by, but you know, like, the more we know, the more we don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And taking that and having that pull you to the next directions of your life, to bring this challenge of, you know, we should always be learning. We should always be growing. There's so much.
There's so much. And may I have the courage to be happily surprised by my life? May I not think I know what's going to happen? You know, I can get pretty heady. I can get pretty Athena and be like, okay, I'm going to control this and do this. But the most wonderful things are the things I could never have thought of. So may I have the courage to be happily surprised by my life, and that curiosity, you know, because if I'm willing to be happily surprised by my life, that allows me to walk with my chin up and be curious about what's around the corner.
Yeah.
So that curiosity, I love that you called it that curiosity translated into devotion, because yes, that is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. That's, I'm just, yeah, you just, and having that, you really feel it. I feel it sitting here, that you walk that space and that light. And I mean, for those that are listening, you know, to give an example, I'm sure like everybody has somebody that they just, not that people don't have down days. We have down days, we have up days, but you just know that they have this level of acceptance, and it radiates as this positive energy and this happiness from the person. And people just are magnetized to them, you know? They're the person that lights up the room even if they're silent, you know? And that's the energy Nina has, is that she's really taken this and to peel away some of those shells or those layers to say, okay, this is me. This is what I'm doing, and this
you're
is what
so
I'm
kind.
Discovering, you know?
That's a kind thing to say, thank you.
You know, I've experienced many different meditation facilitators, and not to say that there's not a lot of amazing ones out of there, but there's also a lot of mediocre ones, that people that, you know, necessarily aren't as clear of a channel. And so I really, you know, you clearly do the work. And on that, you know, on that notion, talking a little bit more on meditation, for those that are listening that maybe don't have the opportunity to, that maybe they don't live in LA or they can't make it to the monthly events or whatever, what are some things for somebody that's brand new, they're just inspired by one, archetypes and the different aspects of their self, or they're inspired by goddesses, or they're inspired by meditation, like, where can they, what's some steps that somebody can take to start that path of looking within?
The best advice I've ever heard about how to start meditating is to take 10 deep breaths in a row. Mm. That's all you have to do at first. Because the my experience with the practice of and there's many different ways to meditate. So, and I, you know, it's finding the one that works for you. There's no way, like, you do what sets your soul on fire. You know, you do the thing that's yes, yes, yes. So for me, you know, it's holding a space for me to be able to let me show up. So taking 10 deep breaths in a row at first is hard sometimes to just sit that still, you know. So that would be a great place to start. And then after that, for meditation, I just set a timer and I sit. And sometimes I have a visualization. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have a mantra. Sometimes I imagine my different body parts smiling. Like I make my butt smile and then my knees smile and the tip of my nose, and that helps, you know, turn my vibrations up. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the goddess work, there's like, for me, my gateway in was reading. So finding a book that turns you on about this work or archetypes, and then to blend the two, find, you know, it's, again, doing this work is trusting the ding that goes on mm-hmm. in you, like, ooh, she's interesting, ding, let me read about that goddess. And if that dings you and you can't figure it out, that's okay if you can't figure out why, you know, if it just dings you, setting a timer for 11 minutes and just sitting with her and thinking about her and asking her if she has anything to tell you.
Super simple, but super impactful.
I love how you said that. I wish I could remember what you said earlier. I'm going to have to listen back to this when you're like, it's the big, but it's the small. Whatever you said before was so good. Good thing it's being recorded.
And do you want to share a little bit more about archetypes besides just the goddess archetypes? Because, you know, you touched a little bit about Joseph Campbell, and, you know, he has the many different archetypes. Mm-hmm. And before I forget on that notion too, I want everybody to know that many guys come to these goddess meditations
too.
I mean, as Nina was saying, this is all aspects of yourself. So guys are just as welcome, if not, you know.
Yeah, I love it. When I always say the guys who show up are always the righteous dudes. They're the ones who are like, oh yeah, I see you. You're awesome. Like, you're bringing it in. And, you know, I've done just female circles too. We used to do those on the new moon, which is a very beautiful. But unless noted, they're all co-ed. And to touch on the archetypes, you know, the thing that... You know, there's so many, right? The basic ones we can say are like the teacher, the knight, the warrior, the wizard, you know, there's different archetypes that, and the list can go on and on. There's that great archetype. Is it Carolyn Miss who does the...
Carolyn Miss, yeah.
How do you say her last name?
I say Carolyn Mace, but...
Mace, could be right. Sorry, Carolyn. but she has that great thick deck, you know, and so it's identification. As archetype, right? So if I look through that deck and I see, let's say, the maiden, a very popular archetype, and I'm feeling like a maiden on some aspect of my life, or the orphan is a great archetype. I'm feeling like the orphan in some. To have recognition through archetype, immediately the identification goes, okay, I'm not alone. And in that I'm not alone, I don't have a survival. There's just a chance to get information from that as opposed to fight it or succumb to it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And there's a great, you know, the idea that, like, this is not a linear life we're living, right? So I can go from the orphan to the maiden to the wife, to the crone, to the wizard. Or I could go from the orphan, to the wizard, to the crone, to the wizard, to the maiden. You know, so it's this idea that these archetypes exists. I love the idea that these archetypes and these mythologies exist on an alternate plane that's this invisible plane, but it supports us.
Yeah. And I like the notion that you can go between all of these, because I think so many people get caught up in the comparing their outside world to the inside world, you know,
sure.
Like, and so, oh, this is the path that this person took, especially idols or friends or close people and stuff. They look and say, well, they went from here to here to here to here, and so that's the learning curve that I should do. And it's like, no, there's we go all around, and not all roads you know, like...
Right? That's our unique follow our bliss path, yeah. Right? If I follow that, it's going to be different and yours is going to be different. And that's the beauty I'm starting to realize too, is that if I can recognize, again, the recognition, the identification that there are so many unique paths, then I go, oh, great, I get a unique path.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there... Yeah, it's a fluid, circular, non-linear, invisible world.
Yeah. And as we continue to grow more population increase in different mm-hmm. times and different things like that, you can see that mm-hmm. it's a direct manifestation within society. Mm-hmm. Like how many, you know, people thought you had to do this or you had to do this, and then you see all of these different changes and technologies and advancements and paths. And then let's even take like something like TV networks, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like now how many different channels are there? There was like 5 before and now there's like hundreds,
right.
How many different types of genres of music mm-hmm. are there? And like, and then you can get in the individual that's between mm-hmm. and a little bit of this and a little mm-hmm. bit of that, because nobody has to fit in a box anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We never had to,
right,
but we created so many beliefs that we felt that we were wrong or right to.
And to that point, another reason I love this archetype, the goddess work, is there aren't, like, in our human life right now, there aren't a lot of examples or people who have tread the path before us about how to do that.
Yeah.
But if you go into the mythology and you go into the goddesses, there they are. And so it's like leaning into that. And also, like, I was having this conversation with someone recently, there aren't a lot of amazing examples of strong women being one of the goddesses there are. There aren't a lot of examples of, you know, in our real life earth experience of men supporting strong women being mm-hmm. one of the myths there are. So we get to lean into that, learn from that, take what we like, don't, you know, leave what we don't like, and move on and create and be an inspiration for the people behind us, you know, for the younger generations who, like, they got it going on right now, these kids. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, whoa. So we have to, like, make that path for them, learn from them, show them this work, too. It's like, that's my dream right now, is to find a way to do this work with kids.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's create it and claim it right
okay,
now.
All right. I would love to do a meditation facilitation for kids, for schools, to let them find the Artemis inside of them, to let them find the Sarasvati inside of them. Recognize that. So cool.
You hear that, right? You can tap into that pure bliss and love and alignment that's coming out of you.
Thank you. So, from you, that means a lot. Thank
so
you.
So say so be it.
Say so be it.
And so it is. You're created.
So it is.
Create and be. And who knows who's listening. If that's something that you can bring to your school or a different place, you know,
yeah.
Let's reach out to us, you know.
Love that, Christina.
I think we're in a place of support, you know. Like, it's all about helping each other in collaborative societies and realizing that we all have these different paths and these different ways, and that every single one is unique, and that there isn't competition. There's just you might walk similar paths, but you're walking your own, so it's still different. There's room for everybody to have and be, and the more we support...
You are a tremendous facilitator of that. You really, really are of that truth. Yeah, you make space for that to be true for a lot of people, so thank you.
Thank you. And let's make this happen for you.
It's happening.
It's
I can feel it already. You can see the twinkles and it's happening.
It's already done. And what else? What else do you want to share?
I don't know what else. I feel like I could talk about this forever, but I don't know what else to say.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what can people expect. You touched a little bit that there are these 45-minute sessions that you guide people through, but
so,
what are they like?
So here in the public, you know, again, the one-on-ones would be different. A lot of time
talk about those too, because maybe people want to work with you one-on-one.
Those are so beautiful, and sometimes, and I get the honor of doing them with people, men and women, sometimes on a regular basis, and it's just me facilitating a personal meditation. based on either something we've talked about specifically, or sometimes we do a spread with the goddess cards.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, never ceases to amaze me that they know what's up at all times. It's just amazing. And then being able, like, doing a bridal or a baby blessing way, you know, coming in for the woman who's about to get married or a woman who's about to have a child and hold the space and facilitate for her and her sisters, her tribe, or, you know, men and women come to those too. Those have been amazing and so beautiful. And, you know, some of the greatest compliments I've gotten are from women who say to me, I haven't been this relaxed in the last 9 months. Thank you. And so that to me is the greatest honor. And so here, when we do the public gatherings, it's a setup in 45 minutes where, and I'm very mindful of the time. So they're 45 minutes because I know that, some people that can be a distraction. The time. So I say, I've got you for these 45 minutes. I will watch the clock. My voice is your guide. You can use it to come back to. You can always come back to it. And also, it's okay if you snore. It's okay if you move. It's okay if you cough. It's okay if you sneeze. Because that happens. And it's just eliminating all of these things that can get in our heads and start to drift us away from doing this work, which takes, again, courage and a tremendous self-care to show up, to get in your car or walk and come here and sit in the chair and say, for 45 minutes, I'm going to hang out with myself, is a radical act of self-care. And I recognize that. So I will do everything I can to hold that space for you, which includes really minding the time. So then the first, I would say, maybe like 15 minutes is I will talk about, as people begin to relax, I will talk about the goddess who is our guide for the evening and give her history, her themes, anything that's, it's such rich material, anything that is calls to me to be spoken to the group that night about her. And then in that 15 minutes, also a relaxation, a deep relaxation. And then the last little less than 30 is a guided meditation wherever it is that this goddess takes us. Sometimes it's the bank of a river. Sometimes it's a pyramid. Sometimes it's the ocean. Sometimes it's outer space.
I love it.
Sometimes it's a combination of all of the above. And we, it's a very, and it's a respectful co-creation with the goddess too. So, you know, she's part of it. She's in it. I follow my instincts, my own personal meditation, any kind of the channeling that I've done to make sure that she is present in the way that is the most respectful to her. And, you know, we, at the end, after we come back into the space and I'll guide you back into the here and now, we do a nice kind of relaxation into the here and now, a re-entry, if you will, and then a deep moment of gratitude for all who have gathered and the goddess guide and every, you know, and all unconditional loving beings for all in space and time who have held the space with us. And then a gentle opening of the eyes. And sometimes, you know, I often, with, you know, in collaboration with you, we'll have crystals or stones that people get to meditate with according to perhaps what is the energy that we're trying to, you know, have the intention with. I've done before where everyone's written a letter to themselves, we put it in the mail, you know, so they don't forget what happened. I've done creating candles at the end for yourself or writing, you know, and we have an altar.
So what she's pretty much saying here is that every meditation is unique.
Yes, that is very true.
And it sounds like everyone is magically and divinely guided.
That is, I have, it brings me to on my knees every time how true that is.
Mm. Beautiful.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you for all you do.
Where can people find you?
Besides
here every once in
a
while.
Besides here about once a month at least.
Yeah.
The website is Circle Gathering. That's the name of this energy field that this comes out of, Circle Gathering. And so
is it circlegathering.com?
Circlegathering.com, thank you. And circlegatheringla@gmail.com is a great way to email me. And I'm on Instagram.
Wow. What's your Instagram handle?
Circle gathering.
Oh, I love it. And what I always like people to be left with a bit of wisdom, insight, or last words. So whatever you'd like to share.
I guess my last words would be just a quick meditation to put your hand on your heart and take a deep breath and to drop into that beautiful heart space where the healing happens. And let yourself know that you love and trust yourself and you're willing to be curious about who you are.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Christina.
And I hope everybody really enjoyed this. You know, we really appreciate your feedback. If you leave reviews, it allows more people to find us because iTunes kind of rates you by how many reviews you have. Yeah. So take a moment, leave a review. 5 stars is great, you know, whatever you feel. And, you know, until next time, thank you.
Thank you.